It's time for another edition of the Gaming Gang Extra, Gen Con Raw, sponsored by our good friends at Victory Point Games. On this episode, I'm joined by Alan Van Norman to discuss Outbreak Undead from Hunter's Books. Our Raw series features very little editing or audio modification in order to bring them to you within hours of being recorded on the Gen Con floor. I am your host, Jeff McAleer. I am in the heart of Studio 2 land, and I am having the opportunity to speak with Ivan Van Norman from Hunter's Books, their latest RPG coming out. It is a monster tome that I have seen. We did a quick gaming news piece about it. It is Outbreak Undead. I wanted to discuss that a little bit because I know your character generation system is very unique, yes. So first off, how's the show going so far?
Show's going great. This is our first year anniversary, so we actually premiered at Gen Con last year. Wonderful. And since then, we have retained the publisher. We're Studio 2 now, a la Studio 2 land. Right. And we actually just received the Judge's Spotlight last night from the Annie's Awards.
So. I heard about that.
Yeah, we were shocked. Let's just put it that way. But it was very, 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 very pleasant and very... we're flattered. We're very flattered because we're a new company and we didn't think that anyone would care about a new zombie game coming out. So.
Well, most people don't really think about zombies and games too much, do they?
Well, no, but you know, when you test out your zombie survival plan like you do with us, it starts to matter a little bit more, you know? So we like to say that your zombie survival plan will fail. That is what we say, and we stick by it because, frankly, most of the plans that we hear do fail. So this way, you actually are... have an opportunity to test your zombie survival plan with our system. So it's D100, so it's all percentile. Okay. It uses degrees of success and degrees of failure. You can do the entire gamut of different zombie spectrums. So if you want to do like the lumbering Romero zombies or the fast sentient 28 days later, mm-hmm. we've got the whole spectrum covered pretty much. So it works well, and the percentile system is really easy to use and handle because you can make it as complicated as you want it to be, or it can be as easy as you need it to be.
What if I wanted to do the Matheson I Am Legend zombies?
You know, the greatest part is we have a vampire template entry just for that, you know? And to keep in mind, though, you have to make sure you abide by the... We have some mutable laws and immutable laws of zombies. And one of the immutable laws is that they have to be... they have to be empathetic, you know. No, but it's true. I love this book so much, and it's such an easy read because it's so light, but it has such an impactful ending that I appreciate it so much.
I think, funny enough, I think the best version of that film is Vincent Price, Last Man on Earth.
Yeah. Oh, Last Man on Earth. That's a new one for me. I usually hear like Omega Man and all, which is a terrible movie. Yeah, but Last Man on Earth is great. So, and you know, the alternate ending for the new one wasn't too bad either. The original was a fool's ending, but
right.
you know, but the alternate one wasn't so bad. So, anyway,
so let's move into the game itself. Now, I had heard about the character creation, and it's a lot of questions that you're going to address, and you're. I would take a guess it's almost where you're maybe looking to play a character who mirrors the player themselves.
Yeah, we actually have a character creation system where you can play yourself as a character. Now, everyone who has a zombie survival plan, they obviously want to see what their chances would be, you know? But we have templates for firemen, policemen. You can make your own character in the sense that it's just... You know, you can make any of the survival archetypes we're all familiar with. But what makes us unique is that you can go online to our website and take a 40-question personality test.
I've been there.
Yeah. I'd like to hear what your stats are. And we keep...
I think I was basically dead within hours of the outbreak. No,
I'm... Are you like 80 or 90% of the population, which is zombie fodder, pretty much?
No, I think it broke down to... I'm trying to remember. I think it was like 30-something.
Yeah, 30s. That's actually good because our average numbers is 22 to 28 is average, you know? 45 is Olympian, and anywhere from 18 to 15 is below average, you know?
I think what helped me out was how observant I tend to be.
Well, you're doing an interview right now, being in in the press. I'd hope you're pretty observant.
I'm sorry. What was that, Ivan? I wasn't paying attention.
Well, yeah, and perception's important because it's essentially our one-all to do mechanical things to make sure that you're spot and scout. And we call it the SPEW AI because it's our four core stats: strength, perception, empathy, and will assessment inventory. Because we've gauged it like a personality test that's supposed to be like when you take psychological questionnaires. And as we move it further, because it is constantly growing and expanding, we want to start including things like sex, gender and sex, same thing, height, weight, all of these different elements that we don't have in there right now but want to keep including so that we can make it as refined as we can so that when players do take the test, they do feel like it to a degree does represent them as a person a little. Now, to supplement that, we do have a system called Gestalt, which is a dice pool that your character has that is based on your age. So the dice pool, say if I'm, in my mid-20s, late 20s, I will have that many dice according to my age in my dice pool. Now, when I'm running through my game as a player and I come across a scenario that I clearly know I know how to do in real life, whether that's like an airplane pilot or, someone who... plays professional basketball or anything that you can think about, I can take a certain number of dice out of my Gestalt pool that represents my years of experience in that field. Let's do airplane pilot, for example.
Which you obviously are.
I am 100. No, I know I'm not even a class three, but I know people who are, which makes them part of my zombie survival crew.
Exactly.
All right? But they take that many years of airplane pilot experience, and they roll themselves up a new stat, which stays with them permanently.
Okay.
And those dice are gone. They're no longer part of your Gestalt pool, but now you have a new skill, perception airplane pilot.
Right.
All right?
Okay.
And that supplements all of the different elements of human experience, which we can't put into the book because it's already a 456-page tome.
Sure.
You could hurt somebody with that hardcover book.
You could use it as a light bludgeoning device, yes.
That's part of my zombie survival plan now.
It fits two different purposes then, so.
As far as setting, I'm going to take a guess, it's pretty wide open. It's a sandbox setting.
Well, it's sandbox because since it's all percentile, your GM can run it 100% scripted as he wants, but it can also be completely random. The encounters are completely dependent on how much perception the zombies have, how fast you're moving, what you're driving, how you're traveling, and what really the atmosphere is. So, it can be a random occurrence constantly, which means the GM can actually play himself as a player and just go through the game, through the motions that the GM does. It just really depends on how much they understand and want to invoke in the game.
Okay.
But, there's still obviously everyone loves scripted campaigns, right?
Of course.
So, we have
even as a just idea nuggets.
Yeah, great. And we have several that we've written ourselves and put up online, available for download and such. Our premiere pack includes something called the Tri-County Precinct, which is just a core group of eight people who are trying to make a stronghold out of a police station, And there's whole scripted events for it. We call them extended mission campaigns. And it's essentially taking a mission from the book and running an entire campaign based on the parameters of the mission,
right.
So most of the time they have win conditions that are pretty easy, in theory, to achieve. Get out of the city limits, survive for 3 days, get this much food, whatever have you. But there's also, of course, the extended long campaigns where you're running win conditions like, survive for a year, get your stronghold up to level 60, And that's where you start exploring what we have is in our stronghold system, which is essentially a stat line that is similar to you as a character, but you run missions from outside of that stronghold to, either bring up its stats or get new survivors, do raid missions, scout, all these other things that we know and love from the zombie genre.
Right.
We even threw in a wild card in there. We call them OBMs, One Big Monster. And it's essentially like, the Nemesis from Resident Evil or the Titans from Left 4 Dead. And what the whole element of that is that it's a character or a monster that you have to outwit rather than just straight kill, because there's a specific thing you have to do in order to get them out. Otherwise, they just plague your party until you get rid of it.
Sure.
So it adds a fun little element inside of the game as well.
Which is an option people can put in, or if they don't want to go with that.
Yeah, if you don't want to have a chainsaw maniac running around while your players are trying to just survive, then they don't have to, you know, but it's there. And we make it available to them, you know?
One question I would have for you, Ivan, and those who come to our website or listen to our show know that we've chatted about, you know, some zombie games out there. Our main focus has been to start off board games. Now we've expanded into RPGs and minis simply because combined we have 60 years of experience in that as well.
Of course.
One of my pet peeves with the zombie games that are out there is they're written very tongue-in-cheek. And I look at, you know, horror should be, and I've referred to it before this way, it should be a punch in the gut.
Thank you.
It should not be, oh, well, you know, because the theme itself is you're actually destroying things that used to be people.
Yes.
And those things are trying to feast on you.
Yes.
So why would you write it up as being kind of like, ha ha, wink, wink, nudge, nudge?
To deer-wielding chainsaws. Yeah, no, agreed. We really err on the side of realism, and that's what a big theme in our game is. We've had professional consultants from the medical field, search and rescue, psychology. People who are experts in their fields have given us their two cents of how to really accurately make a zombie survival simulation. Simulation is the word we use because it is what we strive for.
Mm-hmm.
And realism in that regard is about as close as you can get, you know.
Sure.
We enjoy the tongue-in-cheek zombie games like everyone else does. Sometimes people just want to, you know, go
blow off steam, yeah.
Blow off steam, enjoy, but we're pretty brutal. It's
right.
Kind of malicious. Our players die a lot, and it's actually the first couple of pages in the book really adamantly says that if you're going to play yourself as a character, you need to be okay with this possibility in your games, that you will die, it will be an intense experience, you will try to rules lawyer yourself out of the situation,
of course,
but it's going to happen, and it's okay. Just try it again, you know? Redo the campaign, redo the setting, redo the encounter, or pick yourself up. If your character dies, take one of the population from your stronghold and make that your new character. It's not kind if you really want to play it as a true simulation. I've done my fair share of going out to the gun range, and I can tell you that shooting a pistol, even at 15 feet, hitting a swaying target in the wind is not easy. Not especially with a revolver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just there's enough of a kick that if you don't have any gun experience, our percentages are actually pretty generous,
right,
in that regard. And even then, most people's average melee range base before they add what we call the lethality of the gun in the system is anywhere from 11% to 18%, you know? And people who have military and specialized training obviously have more.
I would hope.
And we represent that. And a lot of people on our forums, or not even on our forums, more on like the general forums, say, well, why do people like in the military and the police, why are they so overpowered? Why isn't the system of classes balanced? And we say, because people who do crisis prevention and do emergency response aren't balanced individuals. They are trained and specialized for these things. A game developer, me, is not going to be able to take the life, even of someone who once was alive, human being, the way that someone who is trained to take down a human body that is threatening another human at all costs.
Right.
You know, we're very specific, and as a result, we actually have a really strong military following. We've heard a lot of stories about people who actually have our PDF and have our book and run the game on base, and they absolutely love it. So, and there's nothing more flattering than knowing that our troops, like overseas, have been blowing off steam and enjoying and doing,
right,
zombie survival with our game, you know? So, yes, I think we share the same idea of what horror is supposed to be.
Well, and I'm not knocking things like, I know Steve Jackson Games is releasing their Munchkin Zombie. I'm not talking about those kind of games. Those are fun games.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be fun games. I'm talking about there are games out there where the actual setting, the gameplay itself is,
yeah,
straight up zombie survival and people are getting killed and things like that. But then the rule book is sort of like, oh, yeah.
Well,
it's a disconnect there somewhere.
Just to give a little bit, I mean, and since people don't really have a book to look at and they're just listening to me talk and spiel for forever, sorry, by the way.
No, that's quite all right. That's why we're here. That's why we do these interviews separate.
But our book, actually the graphic design interface around it is based around a survivor's journal. You know, we have most of the notes in it are either sticky notes or Polaroids, and it's all laid out in like a spiral notebook fashion. Some of the text is actually in handwriting. Mm-hmm. Some of it is in like, you know, newspaper clipping type text. So we really tried to make it look like it's like a survivor's manual as they go through it. So,
which leads me to another question. I had seen some artwork from the book itself and not understanding that it is presented as a survival handbook. Maybe that somebody has put together.
Yeah.
And most role players are used to having, you know, extremely impressive, dazzling artwork.
Yeah.
And then when I saw it, I kind of saw a few of your pages that were online, and I was kind of like,
Yeah, well.
I think it's important that we should mention that artwork
is a style choice.
Is intentionally, yeah. Yes.
It's a style choice. It's sketches. We're not doing, you know, perfect line art. In fact, even if it is supposed to look like someone is in the field jotting down what they are seeing. They're not sitting down with a freelance contract, you know, penning out something absolutely perfect. They're surviving on the run,
right,
trying to write down what they see.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I saw that myself, and I was like, gosh, what? And it seems like a pretty serious book. I mean, really professionally put together. And I'm like, gosh, what's up with the art? But now that you've mentioned that...
Yeah.
See, I'm not all-knowing, you know? I mean, I'm just an opinionated guy talking about games. But it's important to know that and to make that point to the prospective buyers that is a style choice.
Style choice. And, you know, people have said, frankly, we hear pretty much 50-50. People either love it or they hate it for either the reasons that you're talking about. They're like, wow, it's such a nice book. Yet there's these really, like, you know, simply put together drawings. And likewise, you know, people love it because they understand that it's like an emphasis, a style that we're trying to put in. And, you know, if it helps at all, we put a lot of photography in it to kind of keep it that real life.
Right, I saw that
too. We you know, everyone and their brother has a zombie on the front cover of their photo, and it's usually like, you know, all grotesque and blah,
right,
and it's black and red,
right,
and
yeah,
you know, that type of thing. We really tried our best to try to, you know, we had zombies in the book, but we didn't want to just put them on every single page. You know, it's about people, and it's about surviving, and it's about zombie survival. It's not about how many zombies can we put into a single book.
And I think you saying that is the reason why Robert Kirkman's The Walking Dead comic book is fantastic. It's huge. It's the only comic book I even purchase anymore.
Oh, wow.
I still dig comics. I'm not knocking comics, but that is one that I have got to get. And, of course, the AMC series has done a fairly good job.
Agreed. I don't mind them deviating at all from the original storyline. It makes it fresh.
It
makes it new, and I appreciate him for doing something different and, you know, keeping all of us entertained, you know?
And he's in the room with the writers, too, so it's not these guys making up, well, no, we're not going to do that just because it was in a comic.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that, too, and I know some diehards are upset that I'm not spoiling anything by saying who's still alive and who's dead or whatever, but you know what? I would prefer to see something. I don't expect it to be a complete translation on my TV screen. I want something new.
Same reason that, you know, if someone's doing a cover of a song that you like, you don't want them to just do it note for note. You know, you want a little bit of flair, something that adds their unique flavor to whatever they're doing, you know?
Otherwise, I should listen to the original.
Otherwise, just, right. Yeah, just put on the original, right? Exactly. Just read the comic if you want to be entertained by the comic. But if you want to enjoy Kirkman's TV series, then just let it go.
That's right. Get over it.
Get over it. So I don't know. We love it. We're having a good time. We make games because we love games,
mm-hmm,
and we happen to like zombies as well too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we did a zombie survival seminar as well on top of all the games that we ran as well. And you know, we're just big fans of the genre, and we wanted to give people an opportunity to do something which we don't think has been done that often.
Well, you plan on making that first million in about a month or so, because everyone knows coming out with a brand new RPG, being a new company, it is a gold mine. It's like printing money.
It's like printing money. Yeah, we're sitting on Outbreak Millions right now is what we're doing. You know, we're like Scrooge McDuck in a gold,
exactly,
in
right,
his gold den where he swims in it. Yeah, no. But we do have three new products that will be coming out, and we do want to let a couple people know that they can expect to see an expanded bestiary coming out next month with some extended survival rules, which are really going to be a good time. You know, so it'd be, you know, because because the book covers wilderness survival to a degree, but we really expanded on it further of like foraging, hunting, gathering, laying down snare traps, that type of thing. Stuff that normally most people don't think about because most people associate zombie survival with urban environments.
Right.
So this will be the expanded wilderness set, and we're going to get expanded beasts, and then we're announcing at Gen Con our space module that we're going to be putting out quarter one of next year. And it's essentially a system off our system to create zombie organisms in space.
Okay.
Which will be fun. And there's a whole tech system tied to it. There's a lot of sci-fi stuff out there, but this is how you get to use it with kind of the Outbreak rule system a little bit, Allows you to pretty much create different types of characters with different type of tech setups. The whole weapon system is very, very... We think it's very, very unique because you can make any type of weapon you want. And the templates and different zombie organisms we put in we make a lot of... blessing references to all of our favorite sci-fi aliens. Let's just
excellent. That.
So
without infringing copyright.
Without infringing copyright ideas, but there's rules for pheromones and there's rules for mutations because of the horror traits that we are putting inside of the book are horror traits that you can actually apply to zombies in the core rule book as well too. And the horror traits is what makes every zombie different, whether you want it to be rapid incubation or if they're semi-sentient or biologically alive or what have you. The horror traits really allow you to mix it up a little bit if your players are feeling like they're getting bored. So
throw them a curve,
give them ones that shoot spines. Sure.
So now that we have the listeners out there, we've got their juices flowing now for Outbreak Undead, where in the world could they go online to take a peek and place an order?
Well, they can get more information on our website at outbreakundead.com. We're on Facebook and Twitter. They can come to Studio 2 website and get some extra information about it. And if they want, they can just politely ask their local retailer to order it. And they will special bring it in, and we'll be just that much happier. So,
and if your local game store, or I should say, if your friendly local game store will not order it, just means they're not very friendly.
They're not very friendly, and then they're the unfriendly local game store. So and you can buy it direct from Studio 2 as well too. We are on DriveThruRPG as well too for people who like the digital versions of stuff. But yeah, just have fun. Good luck on all of your zombie survival plans, because they will fail. But we can help change that.
Excellent. Ivan, thank you so much for taking time away from the booth. I know there's only a couple of you here, and a lot of people are flying over to check out the game. So thank you very much, and enjoy the rest of the show.
Thank you, sir. Have a great con.
There you have it. Thanks again to Alan for sharing more info about all things Outbreak Undead. And a big thanks to Victory Point Games, where the gameplay is the thing, at victorypointgames.com. Stay tuned for more Gen Con action and be sure to join Elliot and I for our next regularly scheduled show.